KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And Jason, right?
Yes, I believe
you
so.
You are the Jason, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I am the one and only.
The one and only.
There's probably more of me, but I mean, not specifically
more Jasons
me,
or more of you?
Oh,
more...
Yeah.
I
question.
Don't have many clones running around. I have been spotted and not been in locations where I've been spotted.
Oh.
So maybe I do have clones.
Multiplicity.
I think I'm a clone now.
Oh.
Maybe.
There's always one of me always hanging around.
Yeah, now I'm a little bit scared.
A little bit perplexed. All right, if you are unfamiliar with our show, Robots Attack is a geek-centric talk show here at KSU Santa Clara. We talk about entertainment, tech stuff, and of course...
Space.
That's
space,
what I was looking for. And...
And geeks.
Well, what you normally talk about. Come on. DARPA and like
3D printing.
There you go.
Some between those two.
Yeah.
Things that 3D print drones.
Yes. And
drones,
of course,
3D printing more drones.
Oh.
For space.
In space drones.
Yeah. But yeah, and we also talk about entertainment stuff like comic books, video games, movies, that sort of thing too, so you know.
The wild and wonderful world that is geek.
That's mm-hmm. right. We try and cover it as much as we can.
Yes.
We throw a giant net around it. And...
We are paper to its rock.
Ooh.
Nicely done.
I know, right? I agree, yes.
Yeah.
And this one runs over and says, "Stop fighting!"
Why does it always have to be a fight?
Exactly.
And another element of the show that we love is... participation, audience participation.
That's right. And if you, that's you, want to participate and you're not driving your car right now, you can do that by going to robotsattack.me, hitting the interact button. What will that give you? It will take you to our links to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/robotsattackshow, and our Twitter page, which is robotsattack.me, twitter.com/robotsattackme. One phrase, no dot. Our own website's dot. Anyways.
There's a dot.
There's a dot. In some way,
it's not spelled out dot.
You don't, no.
Don't
no.
do that.
Twitter.com/robotsattackme.
Don't spell
one
the
word.
Slash either.
Just one word. And don't put the slash's face in there either, like, you know, Mr. Conan likes to do. Skip that part.
I feel like that needs to be a web page. Don't spell the slash.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, I don't know what it would be about.
Yeah.
It would just link back to the Night with Conan or something like that.
That could work. That could work. I'll try and sell that to him. Directly.
Through
stalking.
Direct message on Twitter.
Right.
Why aren't you responding to me? So yes, that's just a sample of kind of what we do here. And I hope you participate on the show because that makes it even better. Even if you've got like... The cool thing too is when we get into our news portion of the show, a lot of our news stories have neat pictures or videos which are a little difficult for you to see on the radio.
Yes.
So, you know, this gives you a chance to go and check those out, leave comments and like them and say, hey, you know what? That story was really cool. Or hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that story anymore because I was really bored. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we...
Let us know. Give us your feedback.
We're kind of bumming me out.
Help us make the show better.
Kind of bummed me out. You know, I was having a pretty good day, and then I saw that story and was like, great, thanks.
What's this? I don't even know.
Doesn't even know. So, gents, how have you been since last we spoke?
Been good. Been real good. Spent the weekend, most of the weekend, helping care for my nieces and nephews as their parents are taking a much needed and welcomed vacation in Mexico.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay. So get to hang out for a couple of nights with them, which is good fun.
Not too much trouble.
No.
Lots of trouble.
They're good. They're good kiddos.
They're not like the kid on Problem Child movies?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Not at all.
That's good. What about Dennis the Menace?
Oh.
No.
That's good old wholesome, not good.
Neither Dennis nor Calvin showed up, so, you know, I think we did okay.
Man.
Okay.
Sounds boring.
Not that they don't have their own form of mischief, but it's not usually nothing that requires trips to the emergency room. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is good.
We also hung out in your Extra Life stream.
Did
chat
you? I didn't know you were there. No.
Right. I wasn't even paying attention.
What did I do? No.
You probably were saying that when you woke up. Were you like, okay,
I was asleep at the time. Happened? I had it on autopilot.
It was a clone.
Right.
That was doing all that.
It was one of Jason's clones.
Yes.
Just put one of those Mission Impossible masks on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just ripped it off and all that stuff. Well, before I get to that, what have you been up to, Jason?
I spent a little bit of time being sick, so that was fun. But yeah, other than that, I messed around a little bit on the.
You seem better now.
The Black Ops 3. Yeah,
than
I still
the last
got
time,
a little
yeah.
bit of a throat thing.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like a little bit overheated, but other than that, I mean, it's yeah. It comes in shifts, I guess.
They comes in waves.
I like shifts better because it feels very orderly. I like to believe it is. It's
fair
not.
Enough.
It's nowhere near orderly.
Orderly illness.
Right. That makes it sound like an illness that attacks orderlies specifically. But
see, I thought like a queue of sicknesses, like they're like all the viruses in line, like.
Well might be what I have. It seems like it's lasted too long. So
now serving 42.
Right. That's me. Mucus. It's my turn to shine, baby. Here I come, Jason.
Now influenza subvirus 43.
Oh, boy.
Dang it.
Well, let's move on to the good things.
No, the good thing, I got to mess around a fair amount with the new Black Ops game.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the main frustration I've run into so far is that it doesn't advance anywhere near as fast as the beta does. And so I know stuff that I really want,
okay.
And I can't have it yet. And it's like, oh, I have to work for this?
What?
Oh.
Too much, man. Like the real world all of a sudden.
I know. This is just too real. It's too real right here.
So I have a question about it.
Yes.
I won't go into too many details, but one I've been curious about.
Right.
The customization of your character. Since it's specialists now, like, do you get to customize them?
It's nowhere near as custom as Advanced Warfare was, but they do have a similar sort of drop system in place where you get items that you can throw onto the characters. It's just not as many slots, and I haven't gotten that many of them so far, so they don't drop anywhere near as often.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, different camos that are specific to the characters drop relatively often, but it seems to be like a different type of face masks and stuff for their heads, and slightly different stuff that is on their armor and so on. So, yeah.
So you can make them look a little different than...
Yeah, it ends up fairly quickly making it look like you're a little bit more individualized.
Okay, that's
But it's funny, there are still popular ones. Like, everybody seems to like the snow camouflage, at least for now.
Okay.
I guess it kind of makes sense with the season.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of very white people running around right now. Which is especially funny with the heavy accents that almost all of the characters have. But yeah, I got to see a lot more of the maps. I'm not sure I've actually seen all of them yet, to be honest, because I haven't played anywhere near as much as I want to. But there already are some maps that... that are kind of like blowing my mind. It's like, whoa, what the heck is happening in this universe? Because they're really cool maps, but yeah... They kind of break your brain a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's been really cool. I've enjoyed it a lot. And the latest thing that I've been doing, which I'm sure if you guys have gamed with me in the past, you're familiar with me doing this, especially with this game series, I'm running around a lot with just, like, the pistol, and that's it. Because especially with this one, because the lighter the weapons are, the more it affects how acrobatic you are, it ends up making it so you can just be running around doing fairly cool stuff, depending on the map and how well suited it is for that stuff. But you can be like running on walls, like around a room, like constantly just waiting for somebody to come in. And they're like, oh, what the heck? So yeah, little things like that just endlessly amuse me. Even if I'm not getting like gigantic kill streaks or anything like that.
So now it's even more like a John Woo action movie. Minus the akimbo, but just like the single, like most action movies, like the heroes, like shooting on airplanes with pistols shouldn't be possible. I mean, should be really, really difficult, but in this case, it's a little more, you can feel like more like that action hero, like, yeah, running around the room, bang. Bing.
It still takes a lot of skill to do. I'm nowhere near as good at it as I should be for trying to do all of this stuff, to be honest. But yeah, it's still just fun to me trying to pull it off. The one thing that's kind of interesting about the game versus like Titanfall, especially since it was the only other game to try and pull off this level of wall running. Titanfall spent a lot of time building maps that were specifically for that. And so it's really good at it, but you look at the maps on Titanfall and it's like, okay, they built this for this. And so this game, they definitely tried to make it look a lot more realistic, and they didn't necessarily try and do that with everything. There's a fair number of walls that kind of lend themselves to it. But a lot of them still have like random junk sticking out of them, like air conditioners and like a random window that's open or something like that. And yeah, if you're not careful, that can stop you in your tracks pretty easily when you're trying to be like really cool, like running up a wall or something like that. Then you smack into a window. It's yeah, it can be hilarious though.
Definitely some Xbox record that moment.
Yeah, I need to be a little bit quicker in the trigger as far as that goes.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm happy so far.
Getting that Treyarch feel of Call of Duty?
I don't know why, but Treyarch, whenever I play their Call of Duty games, it feels like home to me. It always feels comfortable.
So yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Treyarch feeling.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well, okay. I'll talk about what Caleb alluded to. I did my 24-hour extra life stream on Saturday to Sunday, and both you gents were there for parts.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was very appreciative of you being there. It definitely helped. But yeah, we beat the goal.
Woohoo!
I was a little nervous because it was getting kind of like towards the hours where I was like, well, Europeans and stuff are up right now, but you know, it's getting to that like, okay, in the States, it's, you know, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 2, so it's kind of like,
who actually is going to be like tossing in a few bucks at this point?
Yeah, but you know, most at that time, it's like most people are attached to like Kind of Funny or the big guys and gals who are streaming, you know, that's kind of where probably that money's going to go at those hours.
But
we lucked out. We did it anyway. We got it. We had for a while, we had the 35 cent hype that we were trying to do because the amount at the time, it was like, I forget, you know, something 65 cents.
Right.
Yes. So we're, you know, we're trying
Thanks
to get
to
that
our Canadian
even.
Friends.
Yes. Yeah.
But there aren't conversion rates.
Yeah. But it was funny because our buddy's like, oh, man, I feel so bad about that. I was like, no.
No,
this is
awesome.
Great because, yeah, this makes it now. Or like the 35 cent hype. Come on, somebody. Hey, donate 35 cents. I mean, you can donate more. But, you know, it's
at least 35 cents.
$300 and 35 cents.
Yeah, just tack on that 35 cents at the end.
Right. But, it's just that easy.
Yeah.
Bonus points.
But, yeah, if you're unfamiliar with Extra Life, it helps. You know, sick kids in need. So all the money goes to that. So I wasn't getting any of it. It's going straight to the hospital. I was doing it for the Oakland Children's Hospital because you can go in and select a local one. And that was the closest one mm-hmm. to my area. So I was like, all right, I'll do that one. I think that's the one I've picked the past couple years.
I believe so.
So next year I'll raise it and, you know, I'll raise it up. I try to raise it up a little bit each time, you know, mm-hmm. make it a realistic goal to try and hit uh-huh. since, like I've said, you know, I'm not a Polygon or a Kind of Funny Games, you know, some mm-hmm. don't have the giant audience that they have,
uh-huh.
you know, bring it. But yeah, it was fun. I did Tomb Raider, did the mm-hmm. Jackbox Party Pack, which seemed that was a good time.
Yeah.
It seemed like for most. We tried.
A couple of misfires, but.
Yeah, we ended up, we tried all the games in it. Mm-hmm. And I think we come to realize that a few of them are probably better local
yes.
multiplayer uh-huh. than streaming.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, the delay will really annihilate the play value of a few of those games.
Yeah, I did notice when I went in to the settings, I don't remember when mm-hmm. I ended up switching this. It might have been after some of that, but there's an actual like timer setting, like to... If you're streaming, you can turn it on and it'll like kind of add more time. Like it won't make the timer go as fast.
Okay.
Because our buddy Kane kind of mentioned, he was like, man, this seems like it's going a little faster than previous mm-hmm. games that we played. And when I went into the settings, that was off. I was like, oh, it's probably meant to, you know, you turn that off if you're playing like local,
in your house, yeah.
In your house. But if you're streaming and playing with people, you turn that on and it kind of helps because, you know, there's that Twitch delay. So
yeah, about 10 seconds or so.
Yeah, so when you have that timer, if you watch the stream and it shows there, like, you don't, it's not real time on your device type of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, I had tons of fun doing that. I think we had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those games almost are not quite, but almost designed for this sort of situation.
Well, what was the name of the bomb one again?
Bomb Corp.
Bomb Corp. Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, the music for that
was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really awesome, and it stops at a weird place for the
the loop.
Yeah, the loop is completely out of place in the place that it stopped.
Yeah.
So it just feels like, whoa, what happened to the music? Oh, it started. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay, and then it kicks back up again. Like, yeah. Yeah, I think Kane ended up making it a ringtone or something like that. He ended up grabbing it from the stream, like from the archives, like when I had left to go to the bathroom or something like that. Mm-hmm. I had left it on that, and I think he grabbed it from there.
That's nice. Pretty tempting.
But, yeah.
I want it as a alarm in the morning.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I was thinking of maybe grabbing it and using it for some alert sound or something. Or something
that
might be
good.
Pretty
there
good.
There you go.
But yeah, so did that. Did about half of the Halo 5 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
I saw a decent chunk of that.
How are you liking that?
It was fun. It's really pretty too.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people like complimenting its graphic prowess.
Yeah, yeah, and I just kind of having fun just running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm confused by all the people that were confused by the storyline because I didn't feel like it was terribly difficult to follow.
Yeah, it's nothing. I mean,
I think at that point, haters are just going to hate.
Yeah.
They're looking for the reasons to nitpick it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nothing like, I mean, so far it isn't anything incredible or anything like that, but
right.
It's not like, okay, this is, it's fine. It's all right. And they're going after Master Chief, lock mm-hmm. this team and.
There you go.
Yeah. So you did that for a bit, and then...
I love they have plenty of instances where Nathan Fillion gets to be properly Fillion-esque.
Yeah.
It works pretty well. Like, where he has misgivings, like, what? Are we really going to do this? Are we going to hunt down the Master Chief?
Yeah, we're going after the Chief? Come on. Like,
right.
Really?
You're not the only one who got into this because of him.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's cool just seeing, like, all the different characters on each of the teams,
uh-huh.
Chief's team and on mm-hmm. the Locke's team. And but yeah, I had fun with that. And then, you know, I used the Jackbox to kind of break up the different ones and then mm-hmm. jumped back into Tomb Raider, finished that off.
Cool.
It was funny. I was a little nervous as because mm-hmm. that one I was using to, you know, kind of wrap up the night. Mm. And I was getting towards the part where you
yeah.
had the unfortunate oh. glitch. And I was like, oh, gosh, I hope I don't run into that. That would be really bad right now. So I'm going up there and I look up and I see two of them. And I'm like, okay, yes.
Then you get up there and there's just one.
Yeah.
Quietly, I cursed you from my phone.
No. I think it worked out for you, too, because you had come back in there. Mm-hmm. But then right as I kind of got to the part where you had the glitch so you couldn't move forward, like you had to take off. Mm-hmm. So it kind of worked out. I mean, I think you were there for a little bit
after, but
for the most part, it was like kind of perfect timing for you. You were like, oh, this is right where, so it wasn't spoiled for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can eventually go back and finish it off.
Yeah, I will.
There's not that much left, so.
Yeah, I was thinking like there's got to be like maybe like an hour or so left. It
might
that.
Be two or three, but it's still.
It's not much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like two, I think.
Yeah,
a decent
sitting for play and it'll be.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the experience. It worked mm-hmm. out, you know, for the most part, all the new equipment and stuff, it seemed to work pretty
yeah,
well.
Yeah, the stream looked really good.
Okay, that's good.
The new bots were pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. When we finally got those to work and everything.
Yeah, there's a technical difficulty. Bots are astonishingly difficult to get to go just the way you want to.
Yeah.
Ask anyone who's designed a robot.
A dedicated bot wrangler.
Yeah, I did appreciate the Magic 8-Ball feature was pretty fun. I was surprised at how accurate it was for like yeah, a brief moment in time. It's like exact. Like, whoa. What does this thing know?
Maybe Moobot does have magical powers.
I think it was funny.
Was he drinking?
I think I ended up asking, like, do you ever doubt yourself? And it was like, yesterday I would have said yes, but today I'd say yeah.
Yeah, it has some pretty good stuff. There were some moments when our buddy Kane and another mm-hmm. friend of ours, Sub-Zero, we're kind of going at it with each other, stuff like, oh, will Sub-Zero beat Kane? And we're like, definitely not. And I was like, oh, I can see. And it's like, oh, curse you, Kane.
Like, will Kane be dethroned in DOA? Like, not likely.
What?
Heck, so. Even Mortal Kombat at this point.
It's true. But yeah, so yeah, that was fun, just having mm-hmm. having it all in those last few hours of the sanity slowly slipping away.
Yeah,
that was pretty amusing. Like jumping in, like because I actually got a little bit of sleep because I had to wrangle children in the morning,
uh-huh.
and then I getting up and like seeing you guys, just that little bit delirious from not enough sleep and a little too much energy drink. It's like
yeah,
interesting times.
I got on just in time for your little farewell celebration, and it was pretty delightful. There was a lot of dancing.
Yeah, yeah, I felt a little bad. You jumped on like right near the end. I was like, oh. Uh-huh. Same with another person came in too. Like right because we finished it off because it finished Tomb Raider, but then there was still like a half an hour left of the stream. So I was like, all right, I'll throw a Jackbox Party Bomb. We'll play a couple Fibbage or Quiplash or something. That'll mm-hmm. be perfect to end it. And like right at ended the like the second game or something ended right at noon
mm-hmm.
and it was like, oh, perfect. But then like a couple people showed up.
Yeah,
like, sorry guys, I'm done with the 24 hours.
No, I wasn't hurt at all. I was glad to at least see the end of it. So
so done with 24 hours.
yeah, I'm going to sleep. But oh yeah, but speaking of the deliriousness, and then I'll wrap it up. But it was when you find yourself when it's super late at night and you start laughing at stuff that you know when your normal mind isn't funny.
Yes.
It was like we were doing the Jackbox thing and I forget, Kane was mentioning something about one-armed man or something like that. And then like I threw in something about like, no, it's the one-armed floss man because they were talking about flossing for some reason. I can't even remember, but we both just started
cracking up about that.
We're like, we know it's not funny, but the one-armed floss man. So all the answers we put stuff about that, like oh, it'd be a strange object to beat someone up with, and I put like the missing arm of the one-armed floss man. But it was.
Yeah, I think where I got introduced to it was you doing the little dance in celebration of the end of the thing to that little bomb squad game. music, and like, yeah, I get to sleep with floss arms. It's like, okay, huh. Okay, I must have missed that.
Yeah.
And if this sounds like fun, please stick around for next year when Joe will probably do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it was good times, good times. Mm-hmm. But speaking of good times.
What's that?
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound.
Find our tunes faster by searching for KSCU.
That is definitely the pro tip because the numbers are not unique.
Nope. Mm-mm. On the globe, they only go so many miles and then someone else takes over for those numbers. But the call letters, those are unique on the globe.
Everybody has numbers.
Everybody.
Even aliens have numbers.
That's true.
Even aliens.
Oh, man.
It's true. They got a lot of them.
They have more than average.
They're above average on those numbers.
They love numbers.
That's true. All right. Speaking of numbers, a metric number, we're going to jump to some music.
Okay,
and then we'll come back and talk about the watch party, the next three episodes of Dirty Pair.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around for more Robots Attack right after this music break. And of course, it's still time to participate. You can still join in on the watch party or even, you know.
You can put your floss arm in this.
You can. And how can they do that?
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are both open right now in the background.
Right now. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We are now on Watch Party. We're going to discuss the episodes, was it
9, 10, 11
of Dirty Pair, the 1985 classic anime series.
Yes.
So.
And this one, the episode 9 is titled, Hire Us, Beautiful Bodyguards Are a Better Deal. And honestly, this one was one of my favorites, partly because in a lot of ways, it's sort of ushered in like the sort of spacefaring spaghetti western.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm a fan of the Trigun series, which is effectively a spacefaring spaghetti western, although you don't always know that to begin with. But anyways, it has that little pretense was astonishingly fun because like we it starts off with the girls in the Lovely Angel, which is the name of the ship, and they drop onto this planet. And it's all, like, straight up, like, spaghetti western, like, you know, the buildings are still, like, retro style.
Yeah.
And their outfits are, like, straight out of a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah. Yeah, this was one that kind of borrowed inspiration from, was it Yojimbo and Fistful of Dollars?
Yeah.
Kind of the playing both sides of these two groups sort of thing, but, you know, there's two of them, so
right. They're
each playing a side while playing the side of this thing or something.
Yeah, the planet's a mining colony, which the 3WA was sent in to investigate why the production of the mineral from this planet was going down so much, and mostly it came down to the fact that the two companies on it were infighting so much that they were doing that more than mining. So.
Yeah, one thing that came up last time around that I meant to bring up was that they better defined what that group was. That they're just outright a mercenary group, is what it sounds like.
As near as I can tell, it's more along the lines of private investigation, but because of the level that they operate at, they are a highly militarized private investigation.
Right. I mean, those two specifically, they end up filling more the role of a mercenary group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
although the organization is considered an investigation also, but
yeah
they
probably,
but they're the ones that go in and blow stuff up basically.
Yeah, when you want a solution with lots of fireworks
with pizzazz,
yeah,
you would definitely hire those two.
Yeah, if you want your entire planet blown up.
Yeah, that ending was like, whoa.
Yeah,
I did not quite see that one coming.
I was kind of like, okay, so you just killed all those civilians on that planet. Awesome.
Yeah, that was
further, making me care about these two as the series goes on, and their treatment of random civilians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to think back, and I was not trying to dismiss, not trying to say, hey, go out and destroy as many planets as you possibly can. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I was trying to think back, like, were there any, like, actual good people that they came across? Or were they all just, like, the nasty, like, corporate versus people?
The town that they
showed up in.
Okay.
They were driving around and everyone was like running away. Oh no, it's
that's true.
The police,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
I think those were effectively just the mine operators, the people that would go down and do the stuff. They weren't the corporate mining people,
you know, that worked for,
right.
Did all the, you know,
right.
working on the mine. Yeah, they all got killed.
Okay.
I was like,
so it's like the Death Star basically.
It is a very Death Star like scenario. A bunch of teenagers go in and blow up a very expensive piece of equipment,
yeah.
And a lot of innocent people get taken out in the
difference
lines.
Is on the Death Star, they're working for the Empire.
And they already killed a planet before they got there.
No, the difference is they're working for two separate empires that are fighting.
But these empires didn't use their planet to blow up another planet, so there's that.
They're just fighting it out on the one planet. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
They haven't graduated to that level yet. Maybe when one of them actually, like, wins,
mm-hmm.
they would have turned the planet into a Death Star.
It is a possibility.
It's entirely possible.
Goodness.
So yeah, maybe not the best moral ending of a television series ever.
No, not so much.
Or an episode in the middle of a television series ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is funny, like, everybody is just like, oh, those girls.
They're just blowing everything up.
It was just a matter of time before they blew up a planet. All knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Of course, I liked their chief's reaction. He just kind of looks at it like, and their esteem goes even further now. Like, he's like, this will make them more popular. How is this happening?
Yeah.
You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever computer program is selecting these two, I would
apparently
think is questionable.
Didn't like that planet, number one. That computer program.
It's like they stopped working on that planet. We'll just blow it up.
Yeah.
What?
That planet somehow insulted it, or a rival computer intelligence was housed there. Something.
It's possible.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could be a plausibility.
Yeah.
So from that rather ostentatious ending of an episode, they moved on to episode 10. What? We are heinous kidnappers?
Yeah. Which also had kind of elements of Trigun in it. It felt like.
A little bit.
At times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In later on in the episode.
Yes.
The
basic setup is they are, they say they need a vacation, and so their boss promises them a week off, and they are mysteriously invited to a dinner party on a planet of a well off planet.
Well, no,
that's
the next one.
That's the next one.
Oh,
yeah,
you're right.
This is the one
with the prince.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
The
no wonder
king
you were like,
dies.
Yeah, it has all sorts of dragon references in it.
But yeah, no.
You caught me, Jason.
Yeah.
I was in the wrong episode. Yeah, that's why I was confused. Yes. So this one, there's a king dies on a distant planet, and the only hope for the planet is the young prince who's on another planet studying
somewhere. And so.
Right.
They have to escort the prince back to his home world so he can take over and be king.
It's funny. There's, It's pretty common for this show to have just kind of random occurrences that end up kind of just suiting the situation perfectly. But I always end up kind of liking them for whatever reason. So the prince ends up evading his apartment being bombed and, of course, just dying before they even have a chance to get there just because his roommates apparently snuck him out to go out on the town, using bars or something like that.
Yeah, took him to a disco. And right. You took him to a disco? We're sorry. No, good job.
And the two guys are all confused because they recognize the dirty pair like right off the bat. It's like, oh, they called the dirty pair on us.
Yeah.
Oh crap! We're so done. We knew this kid was important, but
we didn't think it'd be like this.
Yeah. But yeah, they end up finding the kid through that instance there, and then the rest of it is them trying to get this kid back to his home. So they need to get him to the spaceport.
Mm-hmm. I could totally tell too when they were first talking and. Kay was like speaking all properly and stuff, and
right,
he was like,
yeah.
"Oh, she's speaking so properly. Like, why?" And I'm like, "Cause she's gonna like try and marry the prince or something." I even know this. I've only watched like you're a partner with her. Come on, it's not that difficult to see where this is gonna lead to. And then when they get in the ship,
I did like that they had it that at least she's capable of speaking properly instead of they always take that type of character just completely off the rails is in the normal direction, like, oh, well, I'm just the girl who blows things up and doesn't think about things.
Yeah.
And so, which I guess they both kind of are, but still,
they have those
she's
moments.
More so. She's a step farther in that direction. But no, she's the one with presence of mind and ability to have a very proper conversation.
Yeah. I was like, 12 years old.
Yeah, right. She's in the middle of doing her makeup, like, for meeting
the prince.
The prince.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Then typical hijinks ensue.
So did you like this one? Which one did you like more? The previous one or this one?
I think overall this one had a much more solid tone. I just like the setting of the first one, with the Westworld sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That appealed to me. But I think story wise this one was a little bit stronger.
Yeah, I liked the I don't know what you'd call it exactly, but sort of that car train that they came across that they were.
Oh, the caravan?
Yeah. Well, like it was like one or I guess it was like a group of people, but they only showed like two people that were supposedly running this caravan at first. So it was a little bit confusing. It's like, well, do they just drive this thing by themselves? And then they show more people later. But but anyway, I kind of liked that they had an extra character that came in and was like, oh, well, what's she going to do? Is she going to betray them or do this or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up, like, saving their bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. And then, and it closes with the prince going, yeah, I'm taking her out for a field trip.
Oh,
yeah. They're like, wait, what?
To the disco. I mean, he didn't actually say that, but it would have been better if those two guys showed up again. It's like, we're totally taking them to the disco.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty good.
But yeah, they had their moments a little bit later on, like when they reported the dirty pair to the police as being like fake. Like the fake dirty pair or something like that. Just because I guess they didn't believe they acted characteristically violent.
I was confused about
something
that. I was like,
that.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I guess they just needed to move some stuff forward.
Yeah.
Explain some things.
Yeah. I took it more that, well, they didn't beat us up or anything. Like,
they can't actually have been the real dirty pair.
We didn't even see him blow anything up. Couldn't have been them. No. They're obviously kidnappers.
That's possible. And speaking of kidnappers, now we can lead into the episode.
Yes.
Right. It was a 2-for-1, like, kidnapping bonanza, sort of.
Yeah, a bit.
And they were both on vacation, so.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
And the next one, they're, like, it was leading to that boss lets them go on vacation, and then they get a mysterious invitation, and Yuri decides that she needs a new dress to go to this, so they make a detour to a shopping mall and where hijinks ensue because Kay is mistaken for a dude who is
a
bank robber.
Baby.
Yeah, there's a group that supposedly looks a lot like them, and so
right.
the
which
police
really comes down to they have the same haircuts.
Yeah,
they're like
and sunglasses,
older.
And the sunglasses hide everything else. It's like the Clark Kent scenario. You can't tell that's not them, and you can't tell that's not a dude.
Yeah,
you need your eyes examined, sir.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Police have made similar mistakes in the past. It's not completely beyond the pale.
No, but this is the future. They should have, like, it looked like they had snipers. The scopes should have been able to pinpoint at least a few differences between Kay and the dude that she's supposed to be.
Yeah, especially when she revealed, like, she opened her shirt up and it wasn't revealing naked-wise, but, like,
it's very obvious there that she's not a guy.
Right. Well, maybe the police just weren't judging. I mean,
or maybe they just, you know, had to write an episode. And so it was like,
yeah. I think there's a certain amount of that in some of these.
Oh, man. This one was just like, I was looking at the clock. Is this over with yet? Yeah.
Aw, come on.
No.
Come on.
This was...
With them accidentally abducting a group full of school
children. Oh, man. It was like, is this... Oh, God. Like, it just got worse and worse.
I mean, who hasn't been in a rush, like, trying to get out of the mall? And before you realize it, there's, like, in the back of your minivan, a whole bunch of children that aren't yours. Mm-hmm. And it happens to me all the time. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's hard to handle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I think it was in another previous episode of like, call the ship. Oh, I can't because my thing wasn't working. So I put it in for work. Oh, of course.
Right.
Yes. Of course that's what happens right now because you need that to have happen.
Yeah.
So you can't move. It's like this entire episode was all of that. Like, I'll dress like a man. So... we can get the plot moving forward because...
In fairness, it's not the first time she's dressed as a man. She's done it repeatedly.
True, but...
Not so much to this degree, but...
Yeah, to a point, yeah.
Yeah.
She was kind of styling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely not one of the most well-thought-out plots disingenuous, to be very generous to it. But that's... It's in the, well, that was dumb fun. Sometimes more dumb than fun, but it still falls in that category.
Yeah. The show's a romp. That's what it is.
My romp was not romping during that episode.
Yep.
It was broken. I sent it in to get it fixed. Oh, man. That was the problem.
You're just
was.
Generally not
it
a,
was just...
You're not a romper. I mean,
it was just...
I'm not judging. Not everybody in the world.
But I sent it in to get fixed. Wasn't the romp.
Not everybody has their romp, like, properly conditioned at all times.
I guess so.
Something like that.
Right.
All right, well...
I'm a romp 24/7
guy. Awesome. Well, unless there's anything else, I think that'll wrap up these amazingly awesome episodes of Dirty Pair. And we'll hit three more next week. With episodes 12, 13, and 14?
Correct.
All right. We're getting that halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's 24, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
All right. Maybe we'll see some recurring characters maybe at the
Hopefully.
Halfway point. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe some other stuff.
I think they're all recurring characters. They're just in makeup and different special effects.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
The chief is definitely a recurring character.
That's true.
That's true.
And the robot.
And the cat.
And Moogie. Moogie the cat.
We think it's a cat.
Some sort of space bear cat thing with giant claws.
Who doesn't want a bear cat at this point, though? I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. If Avatar The Last Airbender taught us nothing, it's that mixed animals are more awesome.
Yeah.
It's a pretty handy thing to have, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cat stuff. Version of Baymax is what it is.
Yeah, that's okay. a pretty good description. I am not fast.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the watch party. We're going to take another music break, and then we will come back with the new releases and, of course, the news. So keep it here on KACU Santa Clara for more Robots Attack.
right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. Let's give them some new releases. We've got in the theater this week, The 33. In 2010, the eyes of the world turned to Chile, where 33 miners had been buried alive by the catastrophic explosion and collapse of a 100-year-old gold and copper mine. Over the next 69 days, an international team worked night and day in a desperate attempt to rescue the trapped men as their families and friends, as well as millions of people globally, waited and watched anxiously for any sign of hope. We then move on to Love the Coopers. When four generations of the Cooper clan come together for their annual Christmas Eve celebration, a series of unexpected visitors and unlikely events turn the night upside down, leading them all toward a surprising rediscovery of family bonds and the spirit of the holiday. And we have By the Sea. Roland, an American writer, and his wife, Vanessa, arrive in a tranquil and picturesque seaside resort in 1970s France, their marriage in apparent crisis, as they spend time with fellow travelers, including young newlyweds Leah and Francios, and village...
Francois,
thank you. And village locals Michael and Patrice. The couple begins to come to terms with unresolved issues in their own lives. And last but not least, we have Entertainment. A broken, aging comedian tours the California desert, lost in a cycle of third-rate venues, novelty tourist attractions, and vain attempts to reach his estranged daughter. By day, he slogs through the barren landscape, inadvertently alienating every acquaintance. At night, he seeks solace in the animation of his onstage persona.
Alrighty. Moving on to DVDs and Blu-rays, we start off with Mr. Holmes. On Blu-ray and DVD, the story follows Sherlock in his later years as he struggles with diminishing mental capacity. The film has been praised for Ian McKellen's performance as Holmes. Then there is, in a bit of a departure from Mr. Holmes, Tangerine on Blu-ray and DVD. Now, this kind of one of its unique features is that it was shot entirely on an iPhone 5S using a lens adapter for film quality lenses, which shows that it's really the glass that does most of the work. Anyways.
I thought you were going to say it was shot completely on tangerines.
That would have been amusing, but it's difficult.
Like, I haven't heard of that camera brand before.
This film follows the life of two transgender prostitutes and an Armenian cabbie. The primary story focuses on Sindee, that's Sin-Dee, mm-hmm. who has just been let out of prison and is looking for her pimp/boyfriend. Strange story, to be sure, but it's not. But it's been getting a lot of critical press and a fair amount of fan praise as well, if you're into more of the indie scene. So there you go. Then switching gears again to Terminator Genisys on Blu-ray and DVD. The most recent and some probably hope the last installment of the iconic Terminator series. It crosses several time eras and has John Connor in a most unusual position as the villain. It does also feature Arnold Schwarzenegger reprising his role as a cyborg from the future. And closing out is there's also a train wreck on Blu-ray and DVD. Hit comedy from Amy Schumer. It's a raunchy rom-com.
Man, it could have been. And speaking of train wrecks, train wreck.
I should have gone from one
aptly named
from one train wreck to the next. Although I've heard this one's actually fairly good. I never saw it. It's a rom-com in which an outspoken anti-monogamy writer has her views challenged by the source of her latest write-up. And then a few notable quote-unquote classics that are being released on Blu-ray this week: Play Misty for Me and Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Ooh.
Ooh. What you gonna do?
When they...
I'll tell you what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
It's all aboard for a trip back in time as the Conservatory of Flowers presents a new garden railway exhibit celebrating the centennial of the 1915 Panama Pacific International Exposition in an enchanting display landscaped with hundreds of dwarf plants and several water features. Model trains wind their way through a miniature version of San Francisco's historic World's Fair, November 12th through April 10th. Visit conservatoryofflowers.org for more information.
That's kind of cool. And as you were reading that, the only thing I was thinking of is, you guys are about to go on a trip back in time. Excellent.
I was thinking Back to the Future.
both time travels.
Yeah, both 80s movies as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm good. Before you start, okay. I'm just going to say I've been waiting for you to announce this week's of video games for quite a while.
Okay.
You may go.
Okay. So I'm going to start and just get rid of the big one right off the bat. Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival.
Yes!
Is dropping this week on the 13th. I know. Everybody's been waiting for that.
Somebody just donated?
Right.
Yes, to my heart.
Exclusive to the Wii U. I know. I know, Xbox fans.
Dang it.
Hearts are breaking everywhere.
I'm buying a Wii U right now.
My Amiibo collection is for naught.
Cannot connect to see my little Amiibos.
Don't these work in Lego's Dimensions?
That would be funny. They should do like some sort of Kinect version of it. Anyway, next up in probably also what you were definitely most likely not waiting for. But kind of a big deal to me, Crossmaster Arena is coming to the United States on the 9th, a.k.a. today.
Aha! I was going to say.
Anyway.
That sounds familiar for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a spinoff of a French video game that turned into a television show, back into a tabletop game, and now back into a video game.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so it's the Wakfu?
Yeah. It's. Anyway, it's everything that I've seen of it. It's a really fascinating game that's also, if you choose to treat it that way, a collectible figures game that you can play with friends on a normal desktop setting.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have StarCraft II: Legacy of the Void.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, it is a pretty big one. I know a lot of people have been waiting for this one since the last little chunk of story dropped, and people are gobbling up the wonderful story revolving around the Protoss.
Yay, Protoss.
I know absolutely nothing about it. but yeah, the graphics look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the cutscenes are glorious.
As Blizzard has been wanting to do for the last little while.
Yeah. Okay. Now probably into the big boys.
All right. I'm going to get my pants off.
Whoa. Oh, jeez. Okay. Oh, man.
I'm ready.
That away. Okay.
Like, I don't know.
Just kidding. My pants are on. So.
Yes. That was radio theater, folks.
Yes. Radio theater, yes.
Like,
yes.
Sound effects.
Radio theater.
Of like Python slithering.
Stop that.
I'm sorry. Okay. Next up, we have Fallout 4.
Yes!
Woo!
Yes.
I know nothing about this game.
Yes.
Other than it's Fallout, and that's been a big game.
It's coming out for PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
So everybody.
Yes. It's an equal opportunity offender. About
time.
The biggest thing that sounds like people are complaining about is there's some frame rate drops every once in a while. But some people are losing it over that, apparently. I saw a meme that was like absolutely perfect. It was a cut from Jurassic Park when Nedry was meeting the guy in like some random little restaurant in the middle of no place.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Nedry's like, hey, over here, it's this guy. Look at this. And he like turns to him, nobody cares.
Yeah. This guy's undercover.
Right. So yeah, it was
a corporation operative. Anyone?
Yeah. Right. So it was Nedry like, oh, Fallout 4 has frame drops. He's like looking around, screaming in the crowd. No one cares.
Yeah.
That is a very good Jeff. I need to find that one.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty perfect. Okay, next up, probably the biggest one for this room, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes!
That comes out tomorrow, so it's not out already. technically, although a lot of people have copies of it already.
Yeah.
It is.
So someone knowingly over there putting his fingers like, Mr. Burns, what are you doing?
Right. Those games,
it
actually.
Is technically exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem, although that will last for roughly a year and 2 months. So
that's a very specific time frame.
Yeah. It will come next December to both PC and PS4. Mm.
I think it's coming sooner to PC.
Oh, okay.
I think that, so. I think PC sometime early next year.
That's just the posted
year,
things
think.
Right now.
Okay.
So I'm sure as the different game sellers become more acquainted with stuff, they will be very happy to update us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As they do so well all the rest of the time. Yeah. Oh, there's independent games on Xbox? What?
Right.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's kind of the big ones. There was one more that was technical last week, but I thought it was kind of a big deal. One called Dragon Fin Soup ended up dropping. And I thought it was interesting because it ended up being... it was a Kickstarter campaign, and it ended up becoming effectively a PC and PS4 exclusive. Mm-hmm. Or PlayStation ecosystem exclusive. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good luck to all of the PlayStation people out there. I am crying myself to sleep that my funded Kickstarter didn't end up on my ecosystem, but congratulations.
There's always Steam.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So while Jason cries himself into a stupor over lost games, we can move over to comics, which is not really much of a transition, so we'll just keep going. From DC, it's Superman, American Alien, number one.
What?
We know who Superman is, and we're pretty clear about who Clark Kent is, but how does an alien child become the being we know as Superman? The 7-issue miniseries aims to shed some light on that.
Hmm.
Typo in there, too. Interesting. Damn, you autocorrect. Then over at Marvel, it's Wolverine, number one. What? Logan was made into Weapon X, and over the years grew into a much fuller mutant. Because not really human. Anyway, X-23 was created in his stead and led a very similar life until she met Logan. Now benefiting from Logan's many years of experience, she now takes on his hero name and carries on his legacy as hero. She is the new Wolverine. Then at Dark Horse, it's Rebels, number eight. It's a pair of standalone stories in this issue, Liberty's Daughter, about a woman who runs an underground printing press for the Rebellion, and Occupation, which is set during the Great Fire of New York, and it looks into the issue of the freed slaves that fought along the sides of the British. Then at Image, there's a new Walking Dead. It's number 148. If you're into that, you probably are way into that. If you're not into that, you might want to check out Faster Than Light, number three. The crew of the Discovery land on a planet that they discover isn't quite a planet. Plus, they uncover that there is a predator beyond humanity. And then over at IDW, it's Back to the Future, Morty, number two.
Not Morty.
Not at all. Second issue of Twisted Time. This one digs into what ties the McFly family and Doc Brown together. Also, what exactly happens to all of Doc's inventions that don't quite pan out? And wrapping it up, our fine friends at Wow Cool have a few recommendations as well. There's Men's Feelings, number two, by Ted May, which they are calling it an essential, and it looks like it's unpacking sort of the modern age and how does masculinity fit into that. Then there is Lone Solone, volume 2 of 3, which is titled Delirious, and it's from Titan, and it's a far-out space trip.
Hmm.
And then their last pick was Wolf, volume 1, trade paperback, by Ailes Knott. And that one also looked fairly interesting as well. And that one's from Image.
Cool. All right, I'll wrap us up with music. We've got Montage of Heck, The Home Recordings by Kurt Cobain. We've got Papier-Mâché Dream Balloon by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Say that really fast. Highly Deadly Black Tarantula by Teeth of the Sea, and Black Record by Rocket from the Tombs. All right, that's going to do it for the new releases. We'll take another quick music break and then come back with the news. Shall we tease them some news?
Well, how about an enormous telescope?
Not where I thought you were going with that. I should have known. I should have known.
Chinchilla.
I have some latest news from straight off the presses from BlizzCon, although the presses were running a few days ago, but still straight off of those presses.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack of the News right after this music break.
News.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We are now in the news. Let's news them.
Alrighty. I will launch in with my favorite, one of my favorite topics, space. And specifically, there's been a fair amount of movement lately in the large ground telescopes, for lack of a better phrase. Meaning that they aren't satellites, but they are still. But these are optical telescopes, which makes them kind of unique in that way. And specifically, I'm talking about the GMT. No, not Greenwich Mean Time, but the Giant Magellan Telescope.
Oh, that one.
Yes. What?
It is the telescope being built in the Chilean Andes for the Las Campanas Observatory. When it's not quite completed yet, but they had the groundbreaking, and they have driven several of the main support structure pylons for the soon to be coming telescope, which will be 27.6. It'll be 7 mirrors that are 27.6 feet wide.
Okay.
And when they will eventually be arranged into a light collecting surface that is 80 feet wide. And that's 8.4 meters and 24 meters for those with real numbers, real measurements. they will also have a arrangement of seven smaller mirrors, which will be used to shape the reflected light into the sensor so that it will, which will compensate for the blurring effect that can come from the Earth's atmosphere. And what's this going to do? Well, this one is aiming to be 10 times more... they call it
effective?
More resolving power than the Hubble Space Telescope, which means that it can see 10 times more detail than the Hubble Telescope. And we've seen the pictures on the Hubble Telescope. They're pretty amazing.
So basically, go home, Hubble Telescope. We don't need you anymore.
Not quite.
You might as well be drunk.
Yeah, you might as well just go home and drink.
Yeah.
Your choice of liquids. We don't want to encourage alcohol.
Right. Or oil, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever telescopes drink.
Mm-hmm. But this will be an on par telescope, but its benefit will be that it'll be on the ground, so getting data to and from it will be a little bit easier than using radio waves. So there's that. Interestingly enough, the four primary mirrors are 20 tons apiece, and they have been cast at the University of Arizona's Steward Observatory Mirror Lab, and they should be polished and ready to be installed in 2021. These are enormous chunks of glass, and
I don't know.
I've heard of bigger.
Do you think they play the Annie Lennox song "Walking on Broken Glass"? Like
they hope they never will have to. That's what they're hoping.
But maybe it's one of those things like they play it, so it's kind of like break a leg. So like they play it so like to prevent it from happening.
Yeah,
maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Who knows?
Okay.
And that's something to look forward to in the near future. And if that seems too far from home, you might also consider looking up the 30-meter telescope, which is happening in Hawaii, and the European Extremely Large Telescope, or the double ELT. which is kind of like the GMT, but over in Europe.
I'll take a double DLT, the ELT with the side of...
Yeah, and that one will use a much
ALK.
A whole bunch of mirrors to create a surface that's roughly 98 feet across.
Nice. Speaking of gigantic surfaces, if you want to listen to KCU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at kcu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. And never be without the underground sounds. The entire world.
The whole surface of the earth. That's a lot of space.
Yep. And our pro tip, of course.
You can find us faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU.
And of course, since we are in the news, just like any portion of the show, you can participate and check out the pictures and videos that sometimes our articles have. And of course, how can they do that, Caleb?
You can go to our Facebook and Twitter pages, which is facebook.com/robotsattackshow and twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those will have the links up pretty much as we talk about them. And feel free to comment back. Let us know what you think. If you have insights, deeper insights into the stories that we cover, let us know.
Yes.
Okay. Next up, we have news straight from BlizzCon, as promised.
Straight!
This is probably my biggest deal just because I fell in love with a giant commercial that they had for a game that they were producing called Overwatch. The entire thing basically has been kind of the idea of trying to make a Pixar film into a hero-based multiplayer shooter. And that is kind of awesome in my book. Furthering that kind of feel, they announced at BlizzCon that the series is going to be coming with a couple of extras that are kind of nice. They're going to be creating comic shorts that'll end up being little chunks of storyline so that you can feel like your character is a little bit more incorporated into the universe and how they fit with all of the other characters, as well as animated shorts.
Ooh.
Kind of, yeah. So you can look forward to some really nice polished Blizzard shorts. That makes it sound like a swimwear collection or something like that. But yeah, I'm personally really looking forward to into it, because if you haven't checked out the initial trailer for the game, you need to. It literally brings a tear to my eye every time I watch it. I love it so much.
I do like the Gorilla Hero. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. In additional news tacked on to that exact same thing, everybody was pretty much assuming that because it's Blizzard's MO that everything that they're going to do is pretty much just going to be PC or maybe Mac. Well, they upset a lot of people by saying, sorry, Mac. No Mac support for the game whatsoever at this point. They did express some like wanting to get it onto that operating system, but there's no promise as to when that's going to happen, so it might be a little while. The big news for everybody else who isn't a giant computer person part of the PC Master Race, the game is dropping on all modern consoles.
What?
Yes.
So, yeah, I didn't include Wii U on that. I'm sorry, Wii U. You are not a modern console. I'm sorry. It needed to be said. So yeah, Xbox One and PS4 are going to get their own individual copies. There is not going to be any crossplay in between any of the different services.
Oh.
I can see I can see why the two consoles, because that never happens.
Because
they're both different companies. But I can see why the PC and the console, because people on PC would just slaughter the people on a console in first person shooters.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like, I'm a console shooter player, but I know like PC has way better advantage. If it's more of a, like, if any sort of twitch base to it, with shooting, they have the edge. So it's just,
yeah,
not
speed with
fair.
Precision is definitely their thing. I mean, they ended up inventing the entire auto aim system specifically for consoles. So it shouldn't be a big surprise.
But like third-person stuff and certain other games, cross-play would work well.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with the game at all, again, I'd highly encourage you to check out the original trailer. We'll try and get a link up for it. But also look it up on YouTube. They've posted at this point every single one of the characters along with their abilities.
Oh, nice.
And so you can get a feel for how they all function, and there's some really cool ones. The one that kind of caught me off guard is basically a Captain America character, except he's all old and kind of crotchety. Okay. And he's voiced by Optimus Prime.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. I forget the actor's name, but yeah.
Very cool.
Well, okay. This next story, man, if you said that trailer for that game brought a tear to your eye, this might also do that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we all know, right? We're all here safe saying that the Van Helsing movie with Hugh Jackman was probably like one of our most favorite movies ever.
It brought a tear to my eye in that I haven't seen it yet.
Oh. It was all right.
Wait, are you sure? You saw the Hugh Jackman Van Helsing movie from years ago with Kate Beckinsale, and
I may have, but I don't
probably
remember
blocked
it
out of your
so
mind. Right?
Chances
for
are
for good reason.
I probably fell asleep through the majority of it. I'm guessing
probably for good reason.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Well, for you, Jason,
just for me,
just for you. Sci-Fi Order's new daughter of Van Helsing series.
I heard about this.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, director Neil LaBute in The Company of Men, The Shape of Things, will serve as writer/showrunner for a new TV spin on the Dracula myth, a series that follows the daughter of famous vampire hunter and Dracula nemesis, Abraham Van Helsing. Deadline, Latino Review missed out again, reports that Sci-Fi has acquired 13 episodes of this new series, set to begin production in January of next year in Vancouver, big shock, Canada, for a fall 2016 debate.
That's where all of the fantasy and sci-fi is shot these days.
Better Australia.
Yeah. Mm. Or New Zealand.
Yeah.
In Van Helsing, Vanessa Helsing serves as humanity's last hope after she's resurrected 5 years in the future and discovers that vampires have taken over the world and that she possesses unique power over them.
Oh, jeez.
Huh.
Ooh, man.
That sounds...
It'll
like
be
a thing.
Incredible.
It'll be something, all right.
That sounds like a thing.
Totally a thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of incredible things.
Other incredible things are VR, right? The latest, greatest technology that we've been hearing about for 20 years. No, but...
I got all the VR I needed with the Nintendo's VR.
The Virtual Boy?
Yeah.
Well, good news is that
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, I was thinking Lawnmower Man.
That's true. That was living, like, through video in VR, kind of. But
yeah, well, in positive news, in the intervening 20 years, it's actually, the VR has come a fair distance. If you've been...
That's gross.
Watching the news lately about technology, you've probably heard of things like Google Cardboard, which was a thing they did a couple years ago at Google I.O., to promote their latest...
They should have called it Google Origami, I think.
Origami would have also been good, but it was made out of cardboard, so it kind of made sense.
Cardboard-origami?
You can keep reaching, but...
Bordigami?
Which was
makes
a...
It sound like you're always bored.
Yeah, a VR headset, effectively, that was a piece of cardboard that was folded with a pair of lenses, and when you put your smartphone in it, you would have a VR experience.
Actually, the same smartphone that I'm holding right now.
It's one of them, yes.
Whoa.
The thing that's great about this idea is that it's inexpensive. It's a piece of cardboard with a couple of plastic lenses. Not exactly breaking the budget for schools, which is where they're planning on putting it first. And they're trying out in Toronto... schools, the idea is to open to use these to, you know, help students travel and actually experience the view of different places and other things. It basically, it helps you move a classroom into a remote location without having to spend thousands of dollars to ship your child to a place where you may or may not know what's going on with them at that exact moment in time.
Mm.
So, but with this, like, it's inexpensive. It's something that they can easily, like, distribute lots of. Mm. Like the set from that Google makes specifically is around $20 for like the die cut and the lenses. So it's a good deal, and a lot of them have smartphones, or the school might have a set of tablets or devices that they could use in lieu of their own device. So
I'm just imagining like the one random kid who has like a giant iPad Pro like plastered to his face. It's like, oh, my neck hurts, teacher. My neck hurts.
I don't think the lenses are quite scaled for that size of screen, but that would...
And another kid with, like, two flip phones.
You're writing a little comic here, Jason.
So good.
You need to put your drawing skills to use.
Right.
But yeah, so this would be kind of like they're actually, like, starting to follow through on the promise of VR, which is kind of cool.
Sounds good.
Okay, next up we have a story that is also very DIY and has nothing to do with schools, thankfully. But it's sort of educational. Basically there's this YouTuber called Ziggy Z. He prints or he builds random crud, basically. And he recently made it his goal to build his own railgun.
Oh,
huh.
Okay. And he did it. DARPA and the U.S. Navy are no longer the only people in control of railgun technology.
Wow.
Now there is also YouTuber Ziggy Z. And thanks to his YouTube educational wanderings, who knows how many people will have the power of magnetism at their disposal. In scary amounts.
Uh-oh.
Dang.
So, yeah, this guy built this thing. It looks crazy scary. It's 250 pounds. He built it to look almost exactly like the railguns from, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, the Tau railguns that they have in the Warhammer universe. Okay. It's very boxy like that. It looks like it's some cross between Metal Gear and that. But, nice. Here's some of the stats. Initially, to get the initial burst of speed out of the aluminum javelin that it fires, which is par for the course for a railgun, if you're not familiar.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you start with an aluminum javelin.
Got like five of them.
As the first step, it gets the aluminum projectile up to 50 miles per hour with just CO2. But that's just to set it up so that it can properly receive its magnetic charge. At that point, it receives over 900 pounds of force.
Wow.
From a staggering 27,000 joules of magnetic power and a 400-volt power supply that utilizes 480 joule capacitors. 56 of them. it starts to make sense why this thing weight is 250 pounds.
Yeah, that is not a little bit of electronics right there. It's also why most of these have been put onto vehicles.
Yeah, most of them are not people mounted. He's successfully tested it, and he has footage of a very sad piggy bank being absolutely nailed by one of these things, by this aluminum dart. Go and educate yourself.
Maybe they'll use them in future Olympics.
That's
true.
Throw,
they'll use these.
What could possibly go wrong?
It'll be the Mecha Olympics. Like,
yeah.
Who can get the most joules of power into their throw?
Yeah. Speaking of joules, Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. And speaking of animals, two Michigan farmers made an unexpected discovery in a wheat field. The Ice Age bones of a mammoth that was likely slaughtered by ancient humans.
Oh, okay.
An excavation analysis of the bones.
Yay for slaughtering.
Suggests they came from an adult male mammoth that had an unlucky end. Quote, we think that humans were here and may have butchered and stashed the meat in a pond so that they could come back later for it. Daniel Fisher, a University of Michigan paleontologist who led the excavation, said in a statement. Once researchers date the bones, the discovery may help determine when early humans lived in the area, Fisher said. Farmer and property owner James Bristol found the mammoth on September 28th while he was installing a drainage pipe at his farm near Ann Arbor with his neighbor, Trent. That would be quite the discovery.
Mm-hmm,
while you're installing a drainage pipe. Look at this, as a giant mammoth. As Bristol dug a trench with a backhoe, he uncovered a bone about 3 feet or 1 meter long, which researchers later recognized as part of a mammoth pelvis.
And promptly called the police.
Yeah. quote, we didn't know what it was, but we knew it was certainly a lot bigger than a cow bone, Bristol said in the statement. Bristol contacted the University of Michigan and soon had a team of about 15 paleontologists and university students excavating the bones. So they rode up in black vehicles and tinted windows and walked out in the
right,
sunglasses.
As university students yeah. tend to do.
We are 15. We are the paleontologists. Paleontologists got right to
paleo
work.
Paleo Shield.
Yeah. Agents of Paleo Shield. They uncovered about 20% of the mammoth's bones, including the skull and two tusks, multiple vertebrae and ribs, the pelvis and both shoulder blades. They estimate the mammoth likely lived 11,700 to 15,000 years ago, but the remains still have to be dated. Other bones, such as the feet, are missing, and it's unclear what happened to them. For instance, they could be buried somewhere else, or maybe ancient humans removed them. As the teams excavated the bones, they noticed excellent evidence of human activity associated with the mammoth remains. Ancient humans didn't have refrigerators, of course, so it's possible they stored the mammoth's carcass in a pond for safekeeping, he said. Fisher has encountered this pond strategy at other sites in the region. The team also found three basketball-sized boulders next to the mammoth's bones. Perhaps ancient people placed these boulders on the mammoth to weigh down the creature's remains in the pond. Moreover, researchers also found a small stone flake near one of the tusks. Ancient people may have used the stone flake as a cutting tool, Fisher said. The neck vertebrae are also arranged in anatomical sequence, almost as if someone had chopped a big chunk out of the body and placed it in pond for storage, Fisher said. So yeah, there's more to the story, but giant mammoth in Michigan. Because normally, you know, when you're thinking about these discoveries and stuff, it's always somewhere over there, the other side of the world. You forget the things we find
here.
Although
out of all of the American places, Michigan is probably in the top three.
To find a mammoth? Yeah, I would say so. But still, it's like you don't think of them being there. And then, or like the idea, like Utah Raptor.
Yeah.
Where is that found? Utah. You're like, wait,
No, it's got to be somewhere in Africa.
East Lasona, you know?
Yeah,
like
Russia, like some... I'm always finding this stuff on the other
Florida,
side of the world.
At least Florida.
Yeah, seriously.
Florida.
I mean, tropical.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And all of the gators.
Yeah.
Which are obviously just like future raptors because of their legs being exactly the same, right?
Yeah, just like a raptor.
Okay. Should I take the next
one? Yeah, go for it.
Okay. This is actually a story that's been around for a little while, but I chose to pick it up again and present it to you now. And that is San Jose Police Department, yes, hometown, is considering trying to make police garbage trucks.
What? So, like, we're gonna, so, like, the BPRD is gonna be real?
That's the first thing that popped into my mind when I read this. But unfortunately, it's nothing anywhere near as glamorous as that.
No.
With the two-way mirrors and all of that stuff. No, apparently it runs off of a program that San Jose police already have in place to a certain extent with their own police cars. And that's that they have, they don't have an actual number here that I see, but they have a certain number of their police cars outfitted with computers that, as they're driving around, just read every single license plate that they possibly can all around.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire idea of it is that it's constantly checking and rechecking if it's vehicles that were reported stolen or have any other illegality associated with them so that okay. they end up having any sort of information on the fly and they get on top of it much faster than they would have initially. But of course they have limited resources for them to do that, and that's why they only have a few of these cars. But the idea is that if they could get it onto something that already wanders through the streets a certain number of times per week, so that they don't have to waste time doing a very rigid patrol pattern with police cars, that it would end up being much more effective. So far, the budget for these things looks like they run about $34,000. So it's a little bit on the pricey side, but as far as being able to recover material and get a jump on any sort of crimes, especially if they're drug crimes, because you can probably get that money back relatively fast.
That's true.
It ends up being kind of a big deal. So, of course, the normal reaction is people kind of up in arms. Well, I mean, you can be spying on us and you can take this data and correlate it into finding out if somebody frequents a certain bar too much or something like that. Unfortunately, any sort of property that is parked on the street is not covered by any sort of privacy laws. So,
yeah, the street's kind of public space.
Yeah, it's very public.
Yep.
As I sneeze all over myself.
I mean, Google Street Maps kind of like the Street View kind of put that into that's kind of what they what became established with that whole thing is like, yeah, the street is not private.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's like people have kind of an odd double standard when a private enterprise is doing something like that, especially when it's something like Google where people kind of view it as innocuous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as big of a deal to them, but as soon as it's the government, it's like, oh.
Yeah. The police state, man. They're just trying to keep us down.
Which I kind of understand, but at the same time, I feel like this would do a lot of good. So I mean, it would be kind of cool. So it still has to be actually hashed out and everything, and it already has a certain, it would be the first city to do this that anybody knows about, but San Francisco has something kind of similar. They actually have a lot of their muni buses equipped with a similar system, but it's strictly for identifying vehicles that are actually blocking any sort of bus stop or traffic so that they can keep things moving or at least get towing people in the area relatively quickly to clear out any sort of bus routes.
And as impacted as San Francisco traffic is, they definitely want to keep that moving.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a precedence for it, but not to this extent so far. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the city's garbage trucks effectively become an extension of the police force. Yeah.
Let us know what you think, your thoughts on that.
Yes. Yeah.
Do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. And I got one more fun little story before we before the end. So partly because it grabbed me with the opening quote, rodents of unusual size, I don't even think they exist. Now the giant rodent that showed up in that movie is a bit of a stretch of the imagination.
Movie?
The Princess Bride.
The Princess what?
The Princess Bride. Slap. Come on
okay.
now.
Okay.
The
it sounds kind of girly to me, but
whatever. The
is that a musical?
No, it's actually not a musical. Down in Australia, a group of archaeologists have found a rodent of unusual size. Not quite a rodent as big as that one, but it was about the size of a dachshund. So, which for a rat is pretty sizable.
It's unusual.
Yeah.
That's bigger than the ones that we reported on a little while ago, I think.
Oh, yeah, the mind-sniffing ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not by much. Those were pretty big, too. Mm-hmm. Those were like possums, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, these ones probably would fall into a similar category of being related to, but not maybe actually being rats, per se. Mm. But yeah, they believe that they lived about 46,000 years ago, and they... their extinction seems to have been the fact that mankind developed metal tools. And metal tools are harder and can hold an edge longer, so you can clear out more space in a forest or an area for farming or whatever. So with less effort. So that
What were they allergic to the metal?
metal.
Metal, the metal not affect them so much as the environment which contained them, which vanished.
We have the opposite of iron deficiency.
The metal. We are folk singers.
Right. We're strictly folk.
Bullets, my only weakness. How did you know?
Metal that scatters us.
But there is some speculation that the species... They found seven different species of these.
Oh, okay.
That's too many.
And they've been trying to map out like how they moved around, if they had patterns.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of it's sort of like the rat version of Darwin's tree, where it's like a bunch of different animals, same general type, living in an area.
Are they at least cute like the bomb sniffing rats?
They don't have any pictures of them because
thank goodness.
They've been dead for a little while now. But apparently they were used as a food source as well as a number of other things. But there's a possibility that they might have actually some speculate that they could be like resurrected, kind of like the mammoth. There's been the talk of trying to bring a mammoth back.
Oh yeah,
since
yeah.
Mammoths and elephants are not so genetically separated that you might be able to breed one out. So it's kind of like looking into like what do genetics mean in the history of life. And they found that some of them actually might have gone up to 100 feet in length.
Whoa.
Jeez, do we really want dire rats back? Is that what we want?
And this was in Australia?
These are in Australia. That might have been a different animal, but they did find some very strange... There's a lot of strange animals down there.
Australia, man.
Man.
That's what happens when you isolate an ecosystem for that long, because it's interesting times down there. No wonder biologists like it so much.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of history...
Mm-hmm.
To round out the show, we've got this day in history, November 9th. We have in 1888, Jack the Ripper killed his last victim, Mary Jane Kelly.
Well,
yay. I mean, it was the last one.
So that's the positive.
mixed bag.
And then we jump to 1938. Nazis burned and looted temples and Jewish-owned stores and houses in Germany and Austria in what became known as... I'll just say Crystal Night, referring to broken glass on streets.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Not mankind's greatest hour.
No. Then we jumped in 1953. Author, poet Dylan Thomas died in New York at age 39.
Mm.
Then we go to 1965. A switch at a station near Niagara Falls failed. The Northeast and parts of Canada went dark for more than 13 hours.
Well, that's not as bad as the other ones.
It's true. That's true.
So, yeah.
Then we jump 5 years later to 1970. Former French President Charles de Gaulle died at age 79.
Oh, okay.
Then.
He had a full life.
Hmm. Yeah. Then here we go. Okay. I think we may end on a positive here.
Ooh.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
1989, mm-hmm. Not to be confused with the Taylor Swift album.
Right.
Borders between East and West Germany were opened, and the Berlin Wall began to be dismantled the next day.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's
crazy. It's weird, the stuff that we actually remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, like, you seeing that on TV, and you're just kind of like, huh. And then, like, wow, history in the making.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was literally, it wasn't that long after the big speech, like, bring down this wall. Mm. And then, like, a week later, the wall's being, like, torn apart. It was like, oh, wow. Okay, right. That's pretty good.
Brought it down.
That's pretty good.
Alrighty. Then.
Good work there, folks.
Yeah. Speaking of good work, gents. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara. We will be back next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. with more Robots Attack goodness. And of course, even though the show is over with, you're like, oh man, I wanted to comment on this thing, or I wanted to send them this, or but it's the show's over. And like, oh, I can't do it now.
No, you can totally still do it. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Or if you want the best place to catch up with things that have, if you're catching to it a little bit after the show has gone on, go to robotsattack.me. The dot's not spelled out. It's an actual period. And there you can find archives of the show. You can find links to the stories and you can comment there as well.
That's right. Be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. It's lots of fun. All right. That's going to do it on behalf of myself, Caleb, and Jason. We want to thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Take it easy, everyone. Have a wonderful week and weekend. And on Wednesday, if you see a veteran, say thank you.
Yes.
Or give him a high five.
Yeah.
That works too.
High five, thank you.
Yeah.
A high thank you.
Any of those things work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take it easy, everyone.
Raccoons. Veronica.